This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions, and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing A High-Performing Mind, Strengthen Your Mind and Live Your Best Life by Andrew D. Thompson. It currently has an overall rating of 4.8 on Amazon, and 81% of the reviewers call it a 5-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? This book is about proven steps to use your mind in a more intentional and empowering way so that you can excel at anything you do and live a better, more rewarding, happier life. It's grounded in the author's experience as a professional athlete, his 3 decades of working with high performers, and his insights gained from overcoming a life-threatening health condition. Question: what exactly is a high-performing mind? A high-performing mind can be defined as having the ability to make the most of any situation and achieve the best possible outcomes in life. It's not only about how you perform in life when things are going well, but how you rise to the occasion when you encounter adversity. This is what separates high performers from everyone else. On the other hand, not being in control of your mind makes it very difficult to put in the needed effort to be focused, productive, and get the results we need to achieve our goals. Question: in terms of achieving goals, you write about something that you call dirty discipline. What does that term mean exactly? Discipline can be challenging, particularly when you haven't strengthened your mind enough yet to do something on a regular basis. This is where dirty discipline comes in, and it might just take a little longer. Using the dirty approach means it may take you a bit of time to get going, you may get knocked off track for a few days, stop entirely for a while, but then you always pick back up again where you left off. It may not be as clean or fast a process as doing it daily without missing, but still, you get there, and you'll constantly improve along the way. Dirty discipline means you recognize and acknowledge that you'll likely have good days and less productive days when building and sustaining a somewhat regular habit of putting in the time and effort toward achieving your goals. Of course, we all wish we had the self-discipline that some people exhibit, where they decide what they want to achieve, set their mind to it, and then take daily actions to make it happen. This is ideal, but for most of us, achieving our goals may require dirty discipline, and there's nothing wrong with that. You give an example in the book of regaining your own discipline to exercise after a life-threatening illness. You use a daily tactic to just touch it. Can you share that with us? I have to admit that even as someone who previously trained over 4 hours a day, it was shocking how challenging it was to build a regular exercise routine from scratch. My body had become accustomed to not exerting itself, and it was difficult to break past this physical and mental barrier. It was hard to get past the momentum of inactivity that I had built up over the previous 5 years as I recovered from my illness. I started very small in every aspect to ensure I would and could do it. On days I didn't feel like doing much, I still did something, even if my workout lasted only a few minutes and consisted of one exercise. I still chose to touch it regularly, even for a minute or two, to honor and strengthen the habit instead of skipping a session. Question: you mentioned days when you felt like doing nothing. How should we prepare our own minds for these kind of bad days and obstacles on the way to achieving our hard goals? Our resilience increases when we're mentally prepared for potential adversity. The first mental tool is to simply remind ourselves on a regular basis to expect that there will always be unforeseen challenges in life. By anticipating that it could get difficult at some point, we aren't taken by surprise when it does. We're mentally ready to persevere through or maybe even rethink our approach. The second mental tool is to pre-plan constructive responses. Having a plan, no matter how simple, can be critical for ensuring that we don't panic when adversity hits. It preloads our brains to focus on what needs to be done to succeed, instead of thinking about how wrong everything seems to be going. When we're prepared, it's easier to avoid self-destructive responses and believing there's no way to succeed. The third tool, which we can all use during setbacks and challenging times, is to simply acknowledge problems, but then quickly focus on solutions. Question. And to acknowledge problems but quickly focus on solutions, you suggest two ways that can help us stay mentally strong and poised under pressure. What are they? When something difficult happens unexpectedly to me, at this point in my life, I often remind myself that, quote, I've been here before and I'll get through this, end quote. When it also impacts me emotionally, I often respond internally with, yes, I feel terrible now, but this will pass. These two responses remind us that we've been through many challenging circumstances in the past and that we can cope through difficult times again. We know we've done it before, so we have the confidence that we can get through. Both responses can help us stay mentally strong and resilient when it matters the most. Our perspective in stressful moments is everything. Question. Let's talk about solutions to problems. When we're not satisfied with our progress, whether in athletics or life goals, what should we focus on to get the best results at the fastest possible rate? You get the greatest amount of positive change at the fastest possible rate if you focus on improving your biggest weakness. People are under the mistaken impression that it shows weakness to admit that they're struggling in an area, but in fact, it's the opposite. It shows strength. When we're looking for the greatest success in our lives, then being honest about our weaknesses, those things we need to change or improve, will help us achieve our goals far more quickly. High-performing minds are open to change and are willing to acknowledge their shortcomings so they can maximize their rate of improvement. In addition to that, revisiting your main desire daily and affirming what you want so that you can maintain your focus, clarity, and purpose is also extremely helpful. It's an empowering way to start your day and will help your mind and actions to naturally align and get you there as efficiently as possible. Question. In contrast to focusing on this end goal, you stress the importance of being process-focused. Why is it more important to focus on the process than the outcome? Being process-focused helps us to avoid distractions and reduce wasted time and effort spent overthinking or visualizing, imagining excessively, without appreciating that actions matter most. It's best to focus on the process, not the outcome. Being overly focused on outcomes can lead to feelings of frustration or being upset when we haven't gotten there yet, or spending too much time visualizing or excessively talking about our goals instead of taking concrete actions to change the situation. None of this is to suggest that we shouldn't revisit our vision in our minds about what we want to achieve. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take time to plan appropriately. However, I am highlighting that it's in the doing that we make things happen. In the end, we're happier, more fulfilled, and have a greater sense of personal satisfaction when we are process-focused and taking tangible steps to achieve our goals. Question. To achieve our goals, you say that learning to use fear is a critical skill for a high-performing mind. How exactly can we use fear? I've learned that if you want more success in our lives, then being able to use our fear positively to achieve our goals is a critical skill. First, we can use our fears to motivate us to put in the work to avoid failing. In other words, we can use the energy of fear and increased motivation to take the necessary steps to achieve our goals. When you have a specific fear in your mind and you're in a position to do something about it, it's best to respond and to get on with it. For example, When my son was worried about failing a test, my wife quickly set him straight. Well, if you're so worried, do something about it. Get upstairs and start studying. Of course, even when we put in the work, emotions rise up in the big moment, and we just have to keep going, no matter what. Even when we feel fear, anxiety, and the nerves show up. This brings us to the second tool. Say yes to the fear and just keep going. Question. Well, that's sometimes easier said than done. What are some steps to push through fear and perform at a high level during our most stressful situations? The first step is to just acknowledge your fear. Anytime an emotion comes up intensely enough to distract you from what you're trying to do, start by just acknowledging it. You can do this by responding mentally with, "Yes, I feel nervous," "Yes, I feel scared," or "Yes, I feel anxious." Just say it. This encourages you to accept your emotional responses instead of fighting them. By repeating this process often enough, saying yes to your fears can be an incredibly powerful way to get through challenging or important situations and help them go much more smoothly. By acknowledging your fear, you stop wasting energy trying to struggle against it. After that, step two is just keep going. Once you say, "Yes, I'm scared," or "nervous," or "anxious," or whatever, the second step is to just refocus on what you're doing and continue moving forward with what you're trying to accomplish firmly in mind. Don't go back to thinking about how scared, anxious, or nervous you feel, or about the different ways or things you can do that can make it go differently. Instead, say something like, "Okay, focus on my key points. Focus on my key points." Or maybe just try to score. Remind yourself what it is you're there to do. Remember, having a plan, no matter how simple, can be critical for ensuring that we don't panic when adversity hits. Question. To avoid panic, how do you suggest we prepare our minds before a big event when we need to perform at our best? Over the years, as a high-performance coach, I've often helped my athletes mentally prepare for big games or tournaments. It usually involves three steps to mentally prepare them in the hour or two prior to the big moment. Step one, I would begin with helping to ensure that they had the needed clarity about their specific goals for the upcoming competitive moment. In these athletes' cases, their primary objective was usually to win, though not always, if the competition was well above their level. In these cases, they might choose a different goal, like giving a full effort until the end or scoring a certain number of points, etc. They would then visualize themselves achieving their objective during the competition. Step 2. Once this clarity was established, we then moved into identifying the best mindsets the athlete would need in the competition. This mindset included being prepared for a challenge, staying positive and ready to refocus as necessary, and being resolved to give 100% effort levels throughout the entire duration of the competition. Step 3. We amplified their resilience by ensuring that they expected that there would be hard moments, potential setbacks, and all kinds of possible distractions along the way. We also planned how they would refocus after each setback or distraction. They would also use mental exercises to elevate their ability to have a present moment focus at the start and throughout the game time. Question. Why exactly is present moment focus so important to high performance? Because the longer we can sustain an intense present moment focus, the more we're likely to be at our best, which helps us navigate challenging situations with far greater success. Our ability to be in the present moment without dwelling on distracting thoughts and emotions for a sustained period of time brings us into neurological flow, and therefore higher levels of performance no matter what we're doing. All roads to flow pass through present moment focus. We can't always control how deeply we go into flow, but anytime we bring a present moment focus to what we're doing, we elevate our performance and are destined for better life outcomes. As with anything, we get better with practice. In time, we can find flow when we're relaxed and calm, but also when we're mentally alert at the same time. A present moment focus is what helps to make these moments happen. Last question. What are the 12 attributes of a high-performing human? The 12 attributes of a high-performing human are: number 1, intense desire to succeed and excel in life, with the discipline to do something daily to create that success. Number 2, the expectation that it won't be easy and the willingness to give whatever time, preparation, and effort is needed to succeed. Number 3, the habit of always doing your best, even if you might fail. Number 4, the willingness to improve your weaknesses and honestly address what holds you back. Number 5, the resilience not to let doubts or other people's negative words deflate your enthusiasm to succeed. Number 6, the ability and openness to learn, adjust, and keep going after mistakes, setbacks, or failures. Number 7, the passion to explore, experiment, and improve your skills and master your craft. Number 8, a focus on the process, not the outcome, with patience and self-restraint. Number 9, a focus on positive actions, even when things get negative or bleak. Number 10, the ability to say yes to fear, use it, and keep going. Number 11, the habit of using present moment focus in action to achieve your best performances and elevate your success. And number 12, the courage to try again and persevere, always staying open-minded to the possibilities. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. How you rise when you encounter adversity is what separates high performers from everyone else. Resilience increases when we're mentally prepared for adversity. Expect that there will always be unforeseen challenges in life. Being able to use fear positively to achieve our goals is a critical skill. You get the greatest amount of positive change at the fastest possible rate if you improve your biggest weakness. All roads to flow pass through present moment focus. We are happier, more fulfilled, and have a greater sense of personal satisfaction when we are process focused. And that's it for this book interview with a high-performing mind, Strengthen Your Mind and Live Your Best Life by Andrew D. Thompson. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to help our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.